We can just have 1 minute for everybody to settle, and then we start the meeting. Thank you. A meeting of the committee, and we are starting now the meeting. This is a portfolio committee meeting where we'll be dealing with the budgetary review and recommendation report, which we called BRRR of the portfolio committee on public enterprise. We will be getting a draft report presented by the secretary of the committee, Mr. Tisang Mutumi. And then from there, we'll also have presentation on
recording in progress
on our oversight visit to Transnet and the also oversight visit to ESCOM and SAFCOM. And those are the report today. It's about adopting those reports, looking at them, and then add anything that needs to be added. And then we adopt those reports. That's all we need to do now. I hope Tisang is already prepared himself, is ready to start. But before we do that, I just want to check from him if we do have any apology from the members of the committee. But I could see most of the members have logged in. Mr. Mutumi?
Good morning, Honorable Members and Chair. I haven't received any apologies thus far.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Mutumi, you have to just lead us, therefore, with the report now.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I'll reply to the BRRR report first.
Yeah, that's what I'm expecting you to start.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. The report was sent out to the members last week. I'm not going to go into the details because it's almost like 28 pages long. But I will just outline the framework and what is contained within the report. The first piece of the report basically is the standard which deals with the purpose of the BRRR report, the role and mandate of the committee, which is standard, the description and core functions of the Department of Public Enterprises. Then 1.4 basically deals with the methods with which we have dealt with this report. Mainly, we have only met with the Department of Public Enterprises and ESCOM. And then also that the most of the state-owned enterprises, Alexco, South African Express, Airways, SAA, they have not tabled their annual report and financial statements yet in Parliament. And then this is the outline of the report, 1.5. And then overview of the policy environment within which the state-owned enterprises operate in and the challenges of COVID. All of those environmental scan has been done in the particular part of the report. And then the key point, 2.1 is the key policy forecast for the Department of Public Enterprises as outlined in the medium-term strategic framework. And then these are the summary of the previous year's BRRR recommendations. And then number four, it's an oversight, it's an overview and assessment of the financial performance of state of the Department of Public Enterprises budget in terms of the financial for the 2020-2021 financial year. It's an overview of the vote allocation and spending over the medium term from 2016-17 to 2020-2021 in terms of how much has the department spending. Then the department spent almost 99.9% of its budget for the 2020-2021 financial year. And then also there is an analysis of how the the money has been spent and how much has been transferred to the state-owned enterprises. And then financial performance for 2021, 4.2 per program, the Cyprus Food delivered the quarterly performance, quarterly expenditure for the 2020-2021 financial year. Per program, which is the program one, is administration and corporate management. Program two is the SOC governance and performance. Program three is the business enhancement and transformation and acceleration, which are the three programs within the Department of Public Enterprises. And the percentages in the table basically shows in terms of how the department was spending per program in each of the terms. Metric quarters. And then also there is a narrative of how the department was spending in terms of its operational budget on goods and services and compensation of employees. And then it's further narrative on how the department has spent in terms of the money that has been paid to state-owned enterprises and the transfers. This is all the financial analysis as assisted by our researcher, Mr. Lee Bramwell. Furthermore, 4.6 years with South African Express Airways that the entity was unable to submit their annual report due to it facing its provisional liquidation and it's in the process of finding a buyer for the airline. The 2020-21 annual report and financial statements are yet to be tabled in Parliament. So the company is still under business rescue since February 2020. And then we also give a narrative of the court action that is currently underway, where the NUMSA and SACA, which is the Cabin Crew Association Union, in the Constitutional Court, where they basically challenging the process of the liquidation of the company. 4.4, also SAA, they were unable to table their annual report. However, we know that on the 11th of November of June 2021, the minister announced that there is a consortium that has bought the entity and entered into a strategic equity partner with the state at 51%. And then the airline resumed their flight on the 23rd of December 2021. And then there is an interim board and management in the organization. And then while the due diligence with regards to the sale of the airline is being concluded, the Department of Public Enterprises annual financial statement, financial performance for 2021-2022, which is the current financial year which was the one that we're in now. The department has a budget of 36.3 billion, of which 20.1 billion, or 55.4% of the budget, was spent for the period April to June 2021. That was mainly to settle the amount to Danel under the domestic medium-term note. And then the majority of the department's operational budget was spent on compensation of employees and goods and services. So there is an explanatory note for the budget of the department for each of the entities, for each of its programs. Then in terms of the 4.6 medium-term expenditure framework, financial allocation for 2022-2023, which is the outer years, the table 3, the current estimate for the outer years, it basically explains in terms of how the department will be allocated within the outer years in the medium-term expenditure framework. There's also an explanatory note in terms of how that money will be spent per program. And then these are the concluding comments on the financial performance of the Department of Public Enterprises. And then in terms of the overview and assessment of on-service delivery performance, it looks at the Department of Public Enterprises per program, also looks at the different agencies.
Yeah.
It looks at the service delivery performance of each individual one.
Yes, you are audible. Mr. Chumi, you are.
Okay.
But I don't know if everybody does get this irritating noise around you, but you are audible.
All right. I'm going to put on my headset to improve the quality of sound.
This is acoustic, Chair. The acoustic is not correct.
Okay. Is it better now?
Yes, I think so. It's better for myself.
Okay. In terms of the 5.5 and assessment of the service delivery performance for the Department of Public Enterprises, 5.1 is which is an analysis of each program of the Department of Public Enterprises. The department is creates in terms of the policy priorities, is contributing towards the outcome 6 of the national medium-term strategic framework, which is creating an efficient, competitive, and responsive economic infrastructure network. It also contributes towards outcome 4, which is a skilled, capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path. And outcome 5, which is a vibrant, equitable, and sustainable rural communities with food security for all. And then in terms of the performance per program, which is 5.3.1 deals with administration and corporate management. So it basically gives you table 4. How many targets did the department have signed for 2021, which is the 15 annual targets, and then they were all achieved in terms of that particular program, which is promote alignment and efficiency across the institutional model. And then in terms of improved ICT and business alignment and enhanced oversight, the development of the architecture master plan, that was also achieved. The department did not revise the above indicators, both indicators for the program were achieved. That was for program 1. Program 2, which is state-owned companies, governance, assurance, and performance. Older contacts were not signed for that particular thing. And then sub calls increased revenue. It was achieved. The other programs, which are sub programs within the business enhancement, transport and defense, there's also issue of no shareholder compacts were not signed for Transnet, SA Express, SA and NL. The only two that were signed were Transnet and NL.
promote operations efficiency. Four assessment reports on Danel contract, they were not achieved as of 30 June 2020. So these are all the indicators that were not achieved for the 2020-2021 financial year. In terms of the research and economic modeling, which is a sub-program for business enhancement, increase the contribution of SOCs to support the transformation of South African economy. In terms of these particular indicators, they were all achieved. And then the ones for reducing vulnerability of risk associated with climate change, none. It means they were not achieved. Energy and resources. Supply of energy secure. The target basically was to explore embedded generation options to augment generation capacity by 1,000 megawatts by 2024. According to this, it has been achieved. The sub-program transport and defense, improved governance and accountability, it was achieved. Increased access to affordable and reliable transport system, it was not achieved. In terms of the revised target for increased access to affordable and reliable transport system, it was not achieved. And then there's also a narrative on the performance of the Department of Public Enterprises and state-owned enterprises. And then these are the concluding remarks, 5.4, on service delivery performance for state-owned enterprises. And then service delivery and financial assessment, it's 6. There we're dealing with the performance of the department, particularly the state-owned enterprise in terms of financial performance for the 2020-2021 financial year. And we've also done some concluding remarks in terms of the performance of the Department of Public Enterprises. Summary of reporting requests. The Auditor General reported the department achieved an unqualified audit with findings. Therefore, there are no reporting requests relating to the department. These are the recommendations for the financial for this financial year, which some are mostly related to governance and oversight, and they are recurring recommendations from the last financial year, since some of them have not been achieved yet. If I were to just, with your permission, Chair, for benefit of the members, quickly run through them. The committee recommends that the Minister of Public Enterprises should ensure that the shareholder compacts are concluded by the third quarter of the year, preceding the year covered by the compact. These compacts are important indicators for performance of the entities and can only be completed upon the stabilization of the entities. Ensure that the accounting officer improves controls and systems to ensure the department achieves an unqualified audit outcome, and matters of emphasis from each year must be addressed in the subsequent year. Ensure that the annual financial statements of state-owned and companies are submitted on time. Ensure that the findings of the department and in SOCs by the Auditor General are addressed. Improve the capacitation of Board Audit and Risk Committee, the internal audit function in the department, and state-owned companies to respond better to audit outcomes in line with the provisions of the PFMA. Institute consequence management for executive and management who deliberately or negligently ignore their duties and contravene legislation. Ensure the implementation of proactive lifestyle audits and review of conflict of interest based on risk analysis in all SOCs. Update the committee on quarterly basis on the development of shareholder management bill. This is one of the recommendations that has been in the committee for more than 3 years, because the shareholder management bill has been in the system but not coming forth. Present the committee with the conclusion of strategic equity partnership and the oversight plans for SAA. Present the committee with a progress report on SOC's restructuring process. and progress update on the unbundling of ESCOM into three entities, namely generation, transmission, and distribution, present a model for oversight, SOC oversight per program, with clear targets on monitoring, evaluation, and reporting within the financial year, improve communication in SOCs in order to educate the public on the role of SOCs, their capabilities, and their developmental role in the economy. Provide the committee with progress updates on efforts to ensure Alexco achieves its public and commercial mandate, especially addressing the socioeconomic outcomes of the Rustenburg Belt and Alexandra communities. Ensure that the diversification strategy of Alexco, of Safcol, is implemented and the company expands its commercial public mandate, and ensure the community land claims issues are resolved. Ensure that the future of Denel is clarified, including its restructuring process, and ensure that issue of payment of staff in the subsidiaries, Denel Dynamics, Denel Land Systems, Denel Pretoria Metal Pressing, Denel Aeronautics, and Denel Vehicle Systems. Ensure that SOCs protect jobs, in particular highly advanced technical skills, to advance the manufacturing capability of the state. SOC should invest in labor-intensive infrastructure programs to create employment. Ensure that the restructuring of ESCOM is completed within the set time frames and maintenance of power stations is done on time. Ensure that the ESCOM updates the committee on its maintenance program and ensure uninterrupted and sustainable security of electricity supply. Focus on capacitating core technical functions. Develop and enhance technical skills to ensure implementation of sound operational and system engineering business processes to ensure effective technical oversight. Consider filling vacant posts within the department to ensure capacity and capability to further execute important projects and programs which were not realizable in this financial year due to lack of human resources. The department should keep the committee informed on the progress of filling in this important vacancies. Ensure that the implementation of a methodology and manner in which boards are appointed to ensure independence and enable effective board performance review with due consequence management. Ensure that the financial management and control structures and processes are such that accurate, timeous, and reliable recording and reporting of all financial transaction takes place. Furthermore, that the appropriate financial management systems and controls are in place to ensure the effective management of the financial affairs. That the financial affairs and performance reported is acceptable in terms of the corporate plan and financial and the shareholder compact. Significantly enhance reporting and accountability arrangements that facilitate an appropriate oversight by the department, and urgently develop technical capacity within the department to oversee SOCs. Provide the committee with quarterly reports regarding the implementation of these recommendations, and provide the committee with timeless updates in writing on developments and events that could potentially adversely affect SOCs or the public. This information should be completed to the committee shortly after receiving the information on or date of incident. And then the last one is just the concluding remarks. That is the end of the report.
Thank
Matumi,
yes.
You're done.
I'm done with the report.
Okay, let's get hands from the members then before we continue with other reports. If there is anything need to be added or included.
Chair.
Yes.
I want to believe and understand that the sequence of these questions are in fact extracted from the programs as well as perhaps any other outstanding could be a function that could be a contributory factor in terms of harnessing the performance either of the department as a department or the entities themselves, right? And I see our scope here that it's a bit limited, Chair, in the sense that I'm not sure I did not ask that we don't have officials, the department in a sense, that's what I'm trying to say. The DPE we don't have, which then limit us in terms of the scope that we may kind of ask questions. The expectation is we look at the questions, consider the report, and then pass or accept, adopt the recommendations as they are. I want to understand that asking questions to the secretary will in fact be a process of recurring such questions, because it will mean they will have to be addressed at a later stage. I want to understand that, Chair, that it looks as if we are to consider the report, pass the report. If corrected, Chair, that if there are questions that are being asked, I will then come back. But I formally, because I've read these questions, they seem to cover most of the areas that seem to be outstanding, as well as areas that are still foregoing, as well as areas that in fact are taken from the previous recommendations, which in fact their targets were not met at the time. Then, Chair, I feel then tempted that I wish to move that this report, or rather the recommendations, be formally adopted, so that at least we now be given an opportunity. I'm happy that the last recommendation does address that quarterly we are to be addressed, so that we are briefed and taken on the progress of the recommendation thus far. So, Chair, I'm just moving that the recommendations as they appear, they be accepted. If, Chair, we allow questions, I will then request that I come back. If there are no questions to be asked, then I will then move that the report, be, rather the recommendations, be adopted and accepted. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Gumede. In actual fact, what you are doing exactly what I've asked the members to do. A member can come with any issue that he feels or she feels that it needs to be included on this BRRR report. A member can actually omit or seek to remove anything that has been said. That's why we are engaging. A member can also move for the adoption. And you already moved for adoption, but I will rather again open for other people to say something, including yourself, if you want to come back.
But I do take into consideration that you also moved it for adoption. Can I, the hands that I'm seeing here, I'm not going to follow their tune. I will use my own normal system and call people according, members according to their presence here on my register. Can I ask Honorable Piri? Honorable Piri, are you here?
Chair, Honorable Piri will be unable to participate. I think she's catching a flight now at 20 past 10.
Okay. Honorable Kwanazi? Honorable Kwanazi? Okay. She's not coming. Honorable Katalia?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think, let me preface my comments and contribution by saying that we face extraordinary times. What do I mean by extraordinary times? I think it is no secret, and I think all of us will agree, that every single one of the entities under the purview of our oversight is in an extremely parlous state. There are either massive billions of losses being posted, there are either considerable ongoing degree of sabotage or corruption or theft happening. There is considerable evidence of ineptitude and mismanagement. I could go on. We all know the story. We know what the purpose of this committee is, and we know how we should be looking at the BRRRs. But extraordinary times, as I've just sketched, call for extraordinary measures, not for ordinary measures. We need a qualitatively different approach. Why do I say this? Because for decades, before I sat in Parliament and even appeared on a committee, even as a guest, it was clear that the SOEs and this department overviews, the measures that have been put in place in terms of oversight, in terms of accountability, in terms of target, in terms of management, have been much the same templates year after year after year. If you plot against that the achievement of targets, the achievement of milestones, they have been significantly at variance with those targets. That tells us that we are not using the right tools of measurement. We are not setting the right targets necessarily. We are not ensuring that there's the right consequence management. If we continue to do the same things in the same way, we will get the same results. We have to change. For all the apparent tick-boxing okayness of this particular report, in these extraordinary times, I cannot support it because these times call for something, as I said, very different. The fate, not just of these SOEs in their silos, depends on it. The fate of this very country depends on it because of the impact on our fiscus, on the culture of our country, on the economic growth of the country, on the economic spine of the country and of the beating heart of the economy. If we can't get this right, then we as a committee are not doing our job. I thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Kashalia. Honorable Mawote. Sorry, who's that?
My apologies, Honorable Chair. You pointed me earlier and I was not able to.
Come in. Okay, come in, Honorable Malowatwe. You are coming after her. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable members, I greet you. The Secretary of the Committee. Honorable Chair, based on the role and the mandate of the committee, my take is what is in the PRR report, it has covered most of our discussions in the committee, and based on the recommendations that is in the recommendations of the BRR report, it has covered most of the work that has been done by this committee. But Chair, I think what is in the recommendation, the highlight for me is 9.1.8, of which in our last portfolio committee meeting, that matter was raised and it was responded by the DPE. On the timelines of that finalization of that bill. But Chair, as you said, our role as the portfolio committee members is to look at the reports, look at the recommendations, but also add and also adopt the report. I want to support Honorable Gumede in his proposal that we support the recommendations and we adopt the recommendations and the report as this portfolio committee. But Chair, in adopting it, I want to move to this committee to say we adopt the report, but we want to highlight, as Honorable Kashala has said, that we also need some extraordinary actions to deal with some of the issues that we are facing with as the Portfolio Committee Public Enterprise. That we raise an issue to say the DPE should engage the Treasurer in resolving the problems that we are facing, especially the problems from the state capture to all the entities, and we'll need the Treasurer's intervention in all those issues. But in adding to that, but Chair, I want to support the adoption of the report with that added comment. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Mkhwanazi. Honorable Mawotwe.
Thank you very much, Chair, and greetings to the colleagues. Chair, if you look at the report, it outlines and it details how our state-owned entities are in a devastating situation. So I want to go straight to the recommendations to say the recommendations, the way they are, they are not assisting us to move these SOEs from the state that they are. We must never ever have recommendations that are saying we need timers reports. There's nothing like that. So it must be clear what we are asking for. So if you want, if an incident happens today, we want the report in 5 days, it must be written there, we want the report in 5 days. Because what is timers? Timers, some people might be 3 months, might be 6 months. So by the time we open our eyes, it will be too late. So I move that we change. I'm starting from the bottom, where it says that number 24, we need timers, updates and writing on developments. Let's put timelines there. Let's put 5 days. I mean, the incident of ESCOM, for example, it was reported in the media within an hour, but the portfolio committee will still be waiting for a timer's report from ESCOM, so it can be correct. And then I agree that we need to have quarterly reports. I agree that we need to ensure management and control, but what is missing here is, and I'm going to couple number 22 with number 24 and number 2 that talks about the control. I'll take an example of ESCOM. ESCOM for the past 5 years, they've been receiving qualified reports. And majority of the comments from the audit is that the information submitted is not materialistic for the auditors to make sense of what are the finances of ESCOM. Secondly, there's procurement irregularities. Thirdly, there's wasteful and fruitless expenditure. Fourth, it was talking about the process not being followed to the latter. So what is missing on this report is then consequence management. What then do we do? Because we can have one entity that is constantly on the same status for 5 years. And then we get surprised when something like SAA happens or SAA Express. So let's have clear recommendation that says there must be consequences, and those consequence management must be resolved within 6 months or a year so that people don't occupy offices when they are messing up our SOEs. I don't know what we mean by improve the capacitation of the board. I want to be educated on what exactly do we mean. Do we mean that we need to get the board members that are qualified to run such complex entities, or what are we saying? So let's be clear in terms of what do we mean by capacitation of the board. If you want the board to be appointed according to their qualifications and experience, and it doesn't become such a deployment thing alone, let's put it here. Otherwise, anybody can contest and say, but the board is capacitated. Of course, you'll have a geography teacher running, being the chairperson of the board of Transnet. Is it going to assist Transnet to improve? The answer is no. You need an engineer. You need somebody who's been in the manufacturing industry. So let us be clear on what do we mean by that. And it says we need to ensure the implementation of proactive lifestyle audits. How often must this lifestyle audits be done? Should we wait a year? Should we wait for 6 months? So let's say quarterly lifestyle audits must happen. And also, Chair, I know that ESCOM had asked for phasing in of the AG auditing ESCOM. I think we need to push that the AG must audit ESCOM by the end of this financial year, this current financial year. This phasing in is not going to assist us. By the time the 5 year ends, we won't have Minister Pravin as our minister, perhaps. We will not have maybe the CEO currently sitting as the CEO of ESCOM. So it defeats. And also 5 years is a long time for an ailing entity like ESCOM. Really, we can't afford. Let's put it here that the AG must audit ESCOM and must audit all state-owned entities beginning the end of this financial year. And when do we want the ALESCO report? I think let's put it there, because I know that they did go for elections. So it's something that is already happening, but we can't wait something that doesn't have timelines. So let's put there that by the end of this quarter, we need to have the names of the people who are elected published, because there has been elections, I know. I think they're just waiting for the final outcome. And then on Dinel, we're talking about clarifying this to be clarified and the restructuring process. So firstly, Dinel currently is not able to pay its people's salaries. So what are we saying about it? We need management to tell us, are they resolving the issue of paying salaries of DNEL employees? And then we can then say, when will the restructuring process be concluded? And the leadership must then tell us. That's the second thing. The third thing is, how does the restructuring then move DNEL forward? Because all these efforts must be done in such a way that they move the entities forward. And with those recommendations, Chair, I think I'll be covered. And there must also be annual performance reviews of all state-owned entities, boards, and the executives, meaning the CEOs. So for us to avoid ESCOM not having unqualified reports for 5 years, we ought to review the performance of those CEOs, because they are there to make a difference. They are earning fair salaries so that they can turn around these institutions. But if you don't put it here, it will fall off the cracks. And that will be all from my side, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mawadwa. Honorable Lamin.
Thanks, Chair. I will support the proposal by Honorable Kumeche that we in fact I will second his moving of the adoption of the report. I will note the comments made by Honorable Kachaja, and of course with a pinch of salt, because we are not singing from the same hymn. Honorable Kachaja will honestly, at all material times, try and paint a picture that all is bad in these SOEs, including ignoring the turnaround and the positive efforts that have been made at Alexco, and still categorize it as a catastrophic type of a situation with all our SOEs. Let us agree that while some of us will see the glasses half empty, you have the likes of your Honorable Kachaja, who sees it as half empty, while in fact it's half full. It's work in progress, colleague. Let us note as well the comments made by Honorable Mauta in terms of time, of timeline, that we need to have a definite number of these reports, and the language used must not be vague. But I will accept that with a understanding that maybe the crafters of the report did not want to do our job for us. They merely wanted to point us to the very same direction that she's pointing us at, that no, we need definite time of this report. There's no train smash, it's just a mess of English. With those words, Chair, may I concur with the proposal to adopt the report? Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Lamini. Honorable Kumeche.
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chair.
Chairperson.
Yes. Yes. I'm listening. Chairperson. Honorable Kumeche, you are on the platform. I'm hearing the other person calling me. Otherwise, I'm giving you a platform to speak, Honorable Kumeche. I think he's the next person after you. Okay. If it's Kwangwa that is calling.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm of the view, you know, I wanted to make comments. I understand that you are in a kind of a get-together discussing some of these things. Some of them may make sense, some of them may not make sense. I think we need to structure ourselves as well. There are good things that have been said. There are also offensive kind of things that have been said as well. But Chair, I wish I still concur with my earlier proposal that what needs to happen, my understanding is every financial year we consider a report of this nature. My understanding is, according to the department, we are given a time frame of 12 months to execute the recommendations as put before us. Then there is a recommendation that in fact comes in that says, no, let's break these 12 months and be much more specific. It does not mean that there are no time frames. There are time frames. The only thing that we may not, or perhaps the department has not done, is that on a regular basis, we be given the update so that as the committee, we then look at the necessary interventions that may be carried at the time. Or it may even be necessary that before the table we table this report, the department comes to run with us the recommendations that would have been proposed or passed at the previous time. I think that will put us, all of us, in a much better kind of a situation and understanding exactly which ones of the recommendations were achieved and which ones were not achieved. Otherwise, Chair, it's kind of a better situation that we seem to find each other well in this kind of a situation. I re-emphasize, Chair, that we adopt this report. You've got your seconders, which is Honorable Dlamini, Honorable Mkhwanazi, Honorable Maoto as well, with a little bit of salt added.
I'm not accepting the report. I'm rejecting it, actually. Don't speak for me. I'll speak for myself.
That's not what you said, but not
order, honorable members. Don't speak to each other. Honorable Maodwe, you are, it's not your turn to speak. There's no need for you to react. I'm chairing. I know what you said, and leave it to me.
Okay, so maybe Chair, at the end, just give us a chance to either I accept or reject so that I can reject officially, but I've rejected.
Okay. Come, Honorable Kumete, steal your platform. Don't respond direct to other people, Honorable Mawotwe, including Honorable Kumete. Just speak on your position.
Interjections,
Chair, at times, they are disturbing. I'm running away of saying they're annoying, but they are disturbing.
Are you defining the Chair Kumete? Don't interject. Say what you have to say. The Chair has ruled, Comrade Kumete.
Hey, Chair.
Yeah. Honorable members, please, man. Just speak on what is in front of you. People must not just come in and out and I don't need that now. All I need now is for people to deliberate on the report so that at the end of the day, we adopt or not adopt the report. Thank you so much. Continue, Honorable Kumete.
I'm not sure. I move that the report be adopted. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's Honorable Kwankwa now.
Good morning, colleagues. Chairperson, I think I want to concur with Honorable Kachalia to a large extent that we are where we are today, primarily because many of the recommendations that the committee has put forward in a number of BRRR reports have not been implemented to a large extent by the departments. When I looked at the previous year's recommendations while going through the report and our recommendations now, it's exactly the same thing, maybe with the exception of one or two points. And I thought I had to, my mind had to quickly race back and think about the legacy report, which was written by this very same committee in 2019. And the chair at the time, I think, was still Honorable Ranto. When I look at that, if my memory, when I think about that legacy report, it cites precisely the same issues that were discussed in that five-year period of the committee. I don't know whether there's at times a lack of will or commitment on the part of the department to implement these recommendations. That then means that the point that was made, well made by Honorable Mawotre, is that perhaps, yes, each recommendation should have a specific time frame, obviously depending on the amount of time it would take for the department more or less to be able to report back to us about the progress made. As some might take, as Honorable Gumenta is saying, some of the recommendations, the issues might take 12 months. Some might even take 3 months. For example, the issue of consequence management, institute consequence management for executive and management to deliberately fail to or negligently ignore their duties. Surely if we have cases of that, or examples of that that we're dealing with currently, it should be possible for us to be able to say to the department quarterly. But there's also, I think, a standalone point which says that the department must update the committee on a quarterly basis. I think there's something like that. I think perhaps what we should do is to get the research team to say, based on the understanding of their issues, be able to give timeframes. We might not be able to give specific timeframes on some of the issues in the meeting here and during the discussion, but it's important that they have different timeframes so that every time the department is about to appear before the committee, you are able to, as chair of the committee, do what you normally do, remind them about some of the issues that they need to prepare themselves for as they come to brief Parliament. Because if we allow the period to, say, be 12 months or even longer, some of the issues which are critical might fall through the cracks. For an example, how long are we going to have a recommendation that talks about the shareholder management bill? I mean, Desang was being very, very, very diplomatic when he said it's been coming on for like 3 years. It's actually more than that. When the discussion about the shareholder management bill process started, and even then, we're given a couple of weeks, 3 months, and 6 months' time to do it. We need to know whether there's no will or commitment on the part of the department and the executive to have the shareholder bill management process finalized, because it can't continue. It goes from one term to another term. It's indeed true that when we talk about a point made here that about the capacitation, I think, of board members, we need to be a bit clear. What kind of capacitating? What are we talking about? What are some of the issues that we want to talk about? I also want Chair to say, when it comes to ESCOM as a public enterprises committee, South Africans always look to us for solutions, or at least for answers, when there are challenges taking place at ESCOM. One of the issues is that you can have a communication strategy that sounds like you're running a corporate, but if the politicians themselves who represent people in parliament do not know what's happening, especially when it comes to these maintenance issues, when load shedding is going to come, we are always on the back foot, we're always the last ones to know what's happening in the country. Perhaps when it comes, I don't know how we can ensure that we're updated on a more regular basis about this maintenance issue so that we're not caught off guard or with our pants down every time there's about to be load shedding, or the first time you see about load shedding and the crisis of maintenance that needs to be done is when ESCOM has a press conference on TV or the CEO who lacks empathy and sympathy in explaining issues on TV. It always goes the technical route of just talking about this failed, that failed, but not really take into account or acknowledge the damage that the load shedding has on the South African economy. I mean, I've listened to most of those briefings, and all I walk away with is always about this plan failed, maintenance, this corner, that corner, so-and-so didn't do this. And there's a lot of blame game that takes place there. Perhaps we could, in that I don't know how we can work in perhaps in that recommendation and in the implementation of some of these recommendations, make sure that we're updated on a more regular basis, right? That even when there are challenges, severe constraints on the grid, the committee has to know what the challenges and what the plans are. And perhaps it can even be done in writing. The other issue, Chairperson, is to perhaps, I don't know, How is it possible then in instances where, say, we've made these recommendations and like you see in the previous years and the current year, chances are only 60% of this will be implemented or 70%, depending on the commitment of the management, be able to write letters. I mean, I don't know how to phrase this, but the frustration is even your Chapter 9 institutions have more teeth than Parliament. We will make recommendations and recommendations year in and year out that can just simply be ignored. And then they make themselves again, they find themselves in the recommendations of a new year, and then nothing ever gets implemented. And then as a result, there's very little progress that we end up making over a five-year term. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Kwangwa. It's Honourable Clark now.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think much has been said around the issue of this report. I mean, if you compare the recommendations that have been put in and last year's recommendations, there's very little difference. So, you know, it just says to me that very little has been done to address these issues. Honourable Kwangwa has spoken about the shareholder management bill, which I wanted to raise, as well as the compacts that have not been signed as yet between the SOEs and government. I mean, that's a huge issue. You know, and we speak about consequence management all the time within our reports and every committee meeting we have, but we really don't see any real change happening. I mean, things are just deteriorating year on year. And, you know, I would very much like to know what the appointed committee by the president has to say around the SOEs and what are their opinions and recommendations they are putting forward in order to ensure that SOEs are dealt with in a positive manner. So, you know, I think everybody, you know, many people have said exactly what I want to say. And I look at this report and it really depresses the hell out of me. And I really don't think I could support this report. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Malinga.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself, members of the Portfolio Committee, support staff on the platform. Chairperson, let me first start by welcoming the report, Chair, and move that we also move to second Honorable Gumede, Mkhwanazi, and Dlamini in adopting the report, Chair, with the amendments that have been brought forward on the recommendations, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Malinga. Honorable Shabalala.
Thank you so much, Chair. Chair, look, our role is very clear around us when it comes to BRR. Of course, these are our observations. But I really think some of the comments that we also got, they're a bit ingenious because we must not behave almost as if we didn't interact with the department. The shareholder management deal, the department brought a plan to us when it was presenting its performance, and that we welcome. That's one, Chair. Secondly, when it comes to comments that are made almost as if everything else is wrong and nothing else is going good, I think we are really not being honest. You know, sometimes, Chairperson, maybe we must also reflect to ourselves as the committee. I'll make an example with Alex Ko, for an instance. You know, Alex Ko, as we're speaking, the last time we interacted with Alex Ko, that was in May, if I'm not wrong. Now we sit here and having had even also the report we adopting yesterday, you know, I'm a colleague standing up and painting a picture that this is bad, this NTT and so forth, something must be done drastically. Alex Ko has noted lots of changes, one of which is what Honorable Mauto says when it comes to elections, that they've had their own elections, and they were held in November 2021. The question is, where were we? Because if we're going to come in this DRR and lambast almost as if there is no any other change in terms of a matters that we've been raising. And I think it's something that we need just as a reflection. I mean, Aleko, as we know it, definitely right now, there's lots of instability when it comes to marine weather for shallow mining areas, for instance. So it's those type of things that we must be aware of, or rather be succinctly clear about, that they are impending challenges that we would also note. But from where I am, Chairperson, I think that this report is addressing exactly what we've been talking to. The recommendation is exactly the problem statements that we've highlighted in terms of observations. The last point around the issue of reporting in 5 days, where have you seen that? I mean, that's why we have systems in government where we have quarterly reporting. Now, we hear we must amend and adopt amendments that says we must have reporting in 5 days. Clearly, it then means the department will not do anything. And let's recall that this department is a conduit between itself and these entities. These entities have got boards, they've got management. So when we say every 5 days, we must get a response on what? So I think, Chairperson, how the report is crafted around issues of timelessly, but bearing in mind that our duty is to ensure that we engage with a quarterly report. When it comes to events that at times you don't have control of, I'll make an example with SAFCO. What if there is fires, natural disasters that happen in there? So we're going to say that we want that to be told to us every day, how they're quelling the fire. That's why we've got what we call in the system of government or parliament, questions to the cluster, questions to the minister. Anytime you can ask a question as a member of parliament, you don't have to wait for anything or a report. But when it comes to this duty, it's very clear where we stand, what is it that is upon ourselves, what is it that we need to do. I think a point for me that I'll take home is the point that says, perhaps from our side as a committee, and we must look to ourselves as members of parliament, is to say, when do we track and do metrics tracking? And I think it's something maybe we must consider with the content advice and researchers to say that let us do the metrics tracking insofar as this recommendation and its implementation. So we find them inexpressive within the quarterly or any other time we feel like we want to invite the committee who are not happy with other areas that are not implementing. But as things stand here, Chairperson, I also fought or said the adoption of this report insofar as the amendments, I really not agreeing with all these amendments anyway. I think it's futile exercise. I mean, how do you agree with amendment with a person who's going to reject the report? I mean, really, colleagues. So I'm really supporting and I'm thankful to the secretary, the content advisor, and the researcher for doing such work for us as this committee. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Shabalala. I think you have helped the committee in terms of focusing the committee on the issue of this DRR. The issue here is that members of this committee are coming to the committee with their party politics, of which that is expected. But on key principle issues, we're supposed to cohere as a committee so that we are becoming a unified force. If we are a unified force, then even our voice, our recommendation will be easily be implemented. But if we go to always do this kind of report, holding our flags and banners, we won't be able to work and be a pressure on other element of the state, because we are not alone in this business. As legislative arm of the state, there are other arms of the state who are also having a role to play in this kind of politics or this kind of entities. Our understanding on the role of the state-owned enterprises would always differ among ourselves as members of this portfolio committee. That is clear, because we are coming from different political persuasions. Some of us believe that state-owned entities are supposed to play a central role in the building
of our economy, so that our economy can be able to improve the quality life of our people, to continue the transformation. As we speak now, private sector is even failing us to meet the basic forms of our transformation, like black economic empowerment. You will never see that being executed in the majority of the private sector. We can only do those things in the state-owned entities. Now, if now we'll exploit the reality that is confronting us, the reality that everybody knows is that all these state-owned entities have been affected by state capture. And state capture is not public sector corrupting itself. State capture is a tendency of corruption outside public enterprise. That's coming from the private sector. Private sector come and bribe and corrupt our entities. Now, the proponents of privatization will again come and tell us that, look, privatize these entities because they are failing. Who made them to fail? Is the private sector who came and failed them by inflicting this state on old entities with corruption? Now, we must again compensate the private sector by privatizing this enterprise, by giving them to them after they have messed them. We compensate them. Thank you for corrupting us. Take this state-owned enterprise and you do whatever you want, even if it means you reverse the gains of our democracy. Is that what we want? Unfortunately, some of us in this portfolio committee we don't have that appetite of selling our state-owned entities. Instead, we are here not to exploit the problems created by private private enterprises, by corruption, by state capture here. All what we are here to do is to improve and reverse those kind of problems and make these entities productive so that they can contribute in improving the life of our people. That's what we have to understand, even if we have this difference. If people are saying, okay, you failed these entities, we give them to who are private sector, by the way, are the same people who have been supporting the apartheid regime to oppress South Africa for many years, by the way. Therefore, to us, when we refer to restructuring of DINES, we are talking to the same thing, that DINES must at least be assisted. And assisting DINES, it means Treasury must know for a fact that we won't be able to resolve these problems of DINES without their involvement. The workers are not being paid. We expect Treasury to intervene there. We cannot be looking there. Part of this recommendation is that Treasury must come in and assist us to actually pay these people and fast track the process of the workers to get their money. When the report talks about the capacity of the boards, it's also referring to the issues that were raised by Honorable Mawadu. Appoint people according to the qualifications, but we're not going to say it must be an engineer. No, we're not going to say that. You don't have to be an engineer to run an entity because they're engineering work there. No, it doesn't work like that. Unless we've got a different understanding of qualifications. A person can have engineer but also have MBA. A person can have teaching but have an MBA. A person can be a doctor by profession but have a capacity to run an institution, not necessarily an institution based on the particular skill he has learned to. Administration is not about that only. Running a business is not about that. Therefore,
Honorable members, we also agree that SARS should directly audit these entities, because part of the problem we had during the state capture was that some of these private companies that were doing auditing were implicated in this corruption. They had to do a very bad work for the sake, because they were benefiting, for the sake of cushioning and protecting some of the people who are wrong to us, because they are getting monies from them. Therefore, on those bases, we still believe that this committee is something that has been raised previously, that the SARS should directly audit. We have to move towards empowering SARS so that SARS doesn't necessarily need an assistant of a private company for auditing. Therefore, on those bases, the report is adopted by honorable members. Thank you, Mr. Desang Mutumi. Can you help us with the next report?
No, Chair. Please
no, Chair.
Note the rejection of the EFF.
And yes, that is noted, honorable member.
And the rejection of the DA.
You know, that one is obvious. We have
nothing obvious about it. You
yeah, it's like obvious. It's obvious, honorable Kachalia. It's obvious.
We
you said that from the beginning. Thank you.
What's happening now?
Mutumi, Mr. Mutumi?
Chair?
Come with the next report, sir.
Okay. This is the report of the Portfolio Committee of Public Enterprises on the oversight visit to Eskom, Medupi and Pusile, and Subcor. The report, the meeting, the oversight took place on the 21st to the 22nd.
Sorry. Chairperson. Chair, sorry to cut you short, Mr.
All right.
I got cut off, Chairperson, network issues before you adopted the report, the BRRR report.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to also state, put it on record, that you don't support the report.
Yeah, you said that when you're speaking.
I never said that. That's not true. I'm saying it now, Chair.
The content of what you said was saying that. Thank you very much.
Chairperson. Sanus Konyela. That's not my thought. Sanus Konyela.
Even in fact,
the fact
Chairperson, now I'm going to allow
you. You have not given you platform. You have stated your point.
And
I don't know now who said I'm going to call you.
I'm not going to call you.
That is out of order. You're not supposed to address us that way. But you continue.
On a point of order, Chair.
Point of order?
My point of order, Chair, is that you are not following process by taking proper measures in requesting, when requesting votes on a particular issue. You are making assumptions, and that is not correct, and that has to be rectified. That is not how a chair operates. Thank you.
That's correct. That's exactly what happened in this case.
Okay, point taken. Continue, Honorable Mutumi.
Stop being emotional, Chairman. We please relax.
Hey, gosh, you win. Hey.
Malinga,
Mr. Mutumi, please. People, members of this, honorable members, you're not just supposed to speak without being acknowledged. Thank you so much. Mr. Mutumi, come in.
Thank you, Chair. The This is the report for the Portfolio Committee on the Oversight Visit to ESCOM and SAFCOM. Basically, that is the introduction and the purpose of the oversight. Was the ESCOM. Then number two is the visit to Medupi Power Station and the delegation that accepted the committee at the oversight visit to Medupi Power Station. An update on the Medupi Power Station project update. That's where the committee was told that Medupi Power Station is 100% complete. And then 2.1.1, that the work that's still required to be completed. And then the common scope of the defects. And then Medupi Legacy Project, which is the socioeconomic impact of the project of Medupi. And then the Medupi and Kusile defect progress in terms of what has been done to create, to address the defects on the two power stations. And then the performance update of the power station. And then these were findings of the committee on the oversight visit to Medupi. And the recommendations for Medupi Power Station. And then the ESCOM, the visit to Kusile Power Station, the project update, including the progress on construction, the challenges that the Medupi Power Station faced in terms of construction, the socioeconomic impact of the power station, what has been spent. So we also know that the defects for Kusile and Medupi power station are exactly the same as presented to the committee by ESCOM. And then the findings of the committee in terms of power station, Kusile power station, the first one being the one on the flat that were built by Kusile for the input that were incomplete. And then the recommendations in relation to the Kusile power station. Then the committee also went to SAFCOM, where we were met by the chief executive officer of SAFCOM. There's an overview of the operations of SAFCOM, the challenges that the company was facing, enterprise development of SAFCOM, the issue of land claims. And then there's also site visit to the operations that the committee visited. Then the visit to the Harmony Hill Clinic. And then the findings of the committee in terms of SAFCOM. And then the recommendations to the Minister of Public Enterprises for SAFCOM, but also there's also recommendations for the Minister of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development in relation to the land claims at SAFCOM. Then conclusions. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, honourable members, can we tackle the report accordingly? We will be going through the same route. We start with you, honourable Mkhwanazi.
Thanks, Chair. Greetings again to honourable members. Honourable Chairperson, I want to propose to note the findings as they are as part of the oversight and also to propose to the honourable members to the committee to accept the recommendations as part of our report as the committee, and also use the recommendations as an ongoing tool to monitor what was observed there through the parliamentary processes, like questions to the executive and also the discussions within the portfolio committee as an ongoing tool. I want to propose that we accept the recommendations as per recorded by the secretary. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Kwanazi. Honourable Kachalia.
Chair, as I was unable to be on those particular two oversights, I will defer to my colleague, Honourable Clark.
Okay, thank you. Honourable Maotwe.
Chair, I did not attend both oversights, but I've got Commissioner Jeanette on the line here, who's joined, who will deal with it. I was not part of the delegation.
Sorry, is she part of the committee now?
Yeah, she's online now, yeah.
Oh, okay. Hello? What is that?
Yeah, okay. I'm saying you will call her when you get to her name. She will respond.
Okay. Right. Honorable Kwangwa.
Chair, since I also did not attend the oversight, I defer to my colleagues who were part of the oversight. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Honorable Clark, sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. Upon reading this report, many of the issues raised has been put into this report. However, I do think that the departments weren't always very honest with us, considering what has happened of late, you know, in terms of Medupi. I would really also like us to deal with the recommendations within the report, you know, the technical woes of Eskom at the moment, the report that we should receive in terms of the explosion at Medupi, as well as what the costs will be, because, you know, they told us a very rosy picture when we were there, but obviously, you know, things weren't as what it seemed it was when we did this oversight, and also, you know, in terms of how the procurement was done in terms of Medupi and what contractors were appointed, so that we can also get a clear indication in terms of the oversight that we did, what we were told and what has actually transpired after that oversight. That's the one issue. And then the second issue is, you know, we did discuss that we would have a joint committee meeting with agriculture and land reform to see how best we could deal with the land claims in terms of SAFCO. And if we could also just put that in as a recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Clark. Honourable Dlamini.
Thanks, Chair and colleagues. I think the report has covered basically what we saw, and it is indeed the true reflection of our oversight visit. Any other issue that we might have now with the benefits of hindsight, it's for noting not to form part of this report, because that is not what happened when we went over there. I think I will second Honourable Malinga's submission that we adopt the report. Thanks, Chair.
Okay.
Mkwana.
Thank you, Honourable Dlamini. Honourable Komani.
Honourable Mkwana, not Honourable Malinga.
Honourable Komani.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, members. Chair, much as most of the factors that we experienced during the site visit are captured, I also would want to echo the sentiment to say, maybe in that report, if we can maybe I don't know how we can put the time frame basically to the joint meeting of us and the other department, because that is very derailing. And then if we just put it like that without any time frame, it would just be an open book. Further to that, all questions that do it in terms of the strategies are captured. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Komani. Honorable Kumede.
Chair, yes, Chair.
Yebo.
The story is known that I was COVID related case at the time.
Okay. Honorable Malinga.
Thank you, Chair. I want to concur with the sentiments of Honorable Dlamini that the report is the secretary has recorded what happened on oversight. This is the oversight report. So I concur with the report, Chair, and support it and adopt it. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malinga. Honorable Tshabalala. Tshabalala? Oh, she's out here. Okay. Honorable members, that is the end of the discussion on the report. We will move by the speed. We all endorse the report.
Chair, can I please give my input on that?
Yes, Honorable Clark.
You know, Chair, I feel very strong about this issue. I mean, how can we endorse a report where we weren't told the true facts? I mean, what's transpired now and what we were told when we did this oversight and the facts in the report is there, but we were actually not told the true facts, Chair. So how do you support a report on that basis?
Sorry, you were not told the true facts by who?
Point of order, Chair.
By Eskom, Chair.
Okay. Point of order, Malinga. Chair. Okay, Malinga.
This is an oversight report. What we saw there, not what is happening now. We are adopting what we saw in that oversight, Chair. We are not undermining or ignoring what is currently happening. But as the committee, we are adopting what we saw and what was we witnessed in that oversight. Unless I'm the only one who's lost here.
That is the understanding of the report. The report is about us having embarked on oversight to this place, to this entity, to these two entities. We went there as members of parliament and we are reporting of what we have seen and what we have heard, not what we perceived. I see another hand there. I'm trying to get to who is this hand. Okay, Dlamini and Mkwana.
Thanks, Chair. I think there's a mistake that's been committed here by Honorable Clark. I think if my memory serves me well, we did speak to the defects and what Eskom was doing to correct those defects. And they went as far as explaining that not all units are active because they are still correcting these. And we explained, we even asked, what are the causes of load shedding? They explained that once the system is overloaded, these things start happening. So insofar as Eskom hiding things from us, that's not the true sequence of events. They did alert us to the defects and the corrective measures they are taking to correct them. They did not, however, promise us that those defects will not have a negative and an adverse effect on the power supply on the grid. So, Chair, this report is indeed a true reflection of what happened, what we saw. What is being raised now as a concern was part of discussion with Eskom. Now that we know and we've experienced something different, which was not there when we went there, it must not now defer us from dealing with the realities of our oversight. This report, Chair, is the true reflection of what happened. And the issues that are being raised now We're part of discussions. Now we are learning new things every day. It's part of the work that's being done. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Dlamini, for that clarity, because when we were there, there was no fire at Metupiet, for example. Yeah. Can we pass this report to the next report, Honorable Members? Is there any other report, Mr. Metupi?
Please note the objections on the chat group, thanks.
Okay.
Yes, Chair?
Yes.
I'm fighting the third report, Chair.
Chairperson, okay. Can we understand the objections are for the oversight report that Kachala did not undertake?
He said he has written them on the chat. Let me check what the chat is.
I'm referring to my colleague, the Honorable Clark, was on the oversight, who said that she cannot accept the report for the reasons stated. So I was just referring you to look at what you should have been looking at. Thank you.
No, Chair. Honorable members, whatever, Honorable Malinga, just hold on. Whatever Honorable Clark wrote in the, we will take into consideration. We'll not pretend as if she didn't say anything. It's going to be there. But the report has been adopted. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Can you go to the next? Yeah. Continue, Honorable, Mr. Mutshumi.
Thank you, Chair. The report of Transnet, which was the fourth to the 5th of May, 2021, where we visited the Port of Cape Town, Transnet Engineering, Transnet Freight Rail, Belleville Campus, and the Transnet Properties. That was a delegation of the committee that undertaken the oversight visit. The visit to the Port of Cape Town, and then the committee was taken through the presentations that were done, or basically on transformation, the promotion and support to small and medium enterprises, the corporate social investment initiatives of Transnet, and then in terms of the Transnet Port Terminal, we just did a synopsis of what was presented. Then the container terminals of Transnet, some of the challenges that are hindering the entity from performing at optimal level. And then the multi-purpose terminal of Transnet at the Port of Cape Town. Then we've got the Cape Town multi-purpose terminal operational improvement initiatives. And then the Transnet, in terms of Transnet Freight Rail, which is at the Belleville Depot, we look at the issues of human resources, the union representation at the port, training focus areas for the business, the key focus projects areas or strategic projects for the plant, in terms of Transnet engineering, these are the challenges, the opportunities, and issues of skills development for the School of Belleville, which specializes in artisan training and diesel mechanic and other technical things. And then the issues of locomotives and maintenance profile for the plant, the wagons maintenance profile, and then issues for the Transnet property. We look at the property strategy, which are the key initiatives for the unit. And then we look at issue of socioeconomic impact, the job creations and skills development, promotion of local and small medium businesses, the interaction with stakeholders that the committee had invited into the meeting,
which was the small and medium enterprises and also organized labor, and then the observations of the committee. And then the recommendations to the Minister of Public Enterprises. That's the end of the report, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable. I mean, sorry, Mr. Metrumi. What is the next now is to also have members to have a take on the report. I will use the same list, but now start with Honorable Lamin.
Thanks, Chair. I think the report covers exactly what happened during our oversight. However, remember, Chair, there were questions that we posed as a committee to Transnet, which they felt they were going to send written responses. And those responses have not been received, or at least you have not been told that they are there and we have not been appraised about. Outside of that, the report is a true reflection of what happened during our oversight. And I will move for the adoption of the report. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Damini. And then Honorable Kachalia.
I concur with Honorable Dlamini.
And that is all?
Yeah, I covered him, Chair.
Okay. We go to Honorable Mawadu.
No, thank you very much, Chair. So in the presentation that was done on the first day, I think what we are missing here is the point that relates to the licenses. Remember, they spoke about who has the licenses to operate at that port. They said they've got 9 issued licenses, and then Transnet Port Terminals is only having 16 of them. I don't see that point here. And also the fact that that's on the, I think it was the TFR, that 53% of the train cancellations are relating to the security issues. Mm. And on Transnet, we raised an issue of, remember, Chair, I didn't speak to you about it, the issue of the long drop toilet. That when are they going to resolve that issue of the long drop way? A luxurious train is just, you know, dropping.
You don't have to mention it. I remember it.
Yes.
That's continuing. Yeah.
Captured on the report. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Mr. Mutumi must note that is a very important point. I remember that. Honorable Mkwanazi. Honorable Mkwanazi. Honorable Mkwanazi is maybe a network problem, perhaps. Let's go to Honorable Kumeda.
Who was on leave, Chair?
Oh, yes, I remember that. Okay. Go to Kwankwa, Honorable Kwankwa.
Chair, Honorable Dlamini covered me earlier, and I agree with the report and support its adoption. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Clark.
My apologies, Chair Mkwanazi.
Oh, you back?
My sincere apologies. I don't know what is happening with my gadget. But, Chair, with the addition that you have noted, I support the proposal by Honorable Dlamini to adopt the report. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Clark.
Chair, the Honorable Clark has just informed me that she has been called to her husband's bedside, who is in hospital. So we shall not give you. Thank you.
Oh, speedily recover to her husband.
Thank you.
Yeah. Honorable Malinga.
Chairperson, I support the report with the additions that have been made mention of.
Okay. It's Honorable Chabalala Beck.
Network problem, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Members. The report is seemed to be unanimously adopted, which is we are almost end of our committee meeting. Mr. Machumi, is there anything else? Mr. Machumi? Machumi?
Yeah, yes, Chair?
Yes, is there anything else?
No, there's nothing else, Chair. It was only these three reports.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Members. I think now we get to the end of our meeting. Our meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Don't leave the chair.